This is KUT. Austin Police now has officers patrolling specifically for drunk drivers every night of the week. They expanded to 7 days in the middle of last year. But last year also saw a record 102 people killed on Austin's streets. Of those deaths, 61% involved an intoxicated person. All this week, we've been looking at the causes of traffic deaths and the potential solutions included in the city's Vision Zero plan, which the city council is scheduled to take up next week. We're calling our series The Road to Zero. So what, if anything, could be done about drunk driving? KUT's Audrey McGlinchey reports.
Greg Tiemann was an active kid. He played baseball with his three older brothers, and as that life goes, Greg often got scrapes, but never stitches. Refusing to let doctors stitch him up was his badge of honor.
To know that when he died, he had to have stitches is, you know, it's kind of devastating because that's one thing that he always worked not to have.
Greg had other injuries when he died.
He had a broke finger. He had a bruise up under his neck. His eye socket was broken, bruised. He had a black eye. He had a gash to the back of his head, which I assume killed him.
The night started as these do with drinking.
You look for slurring, other signs, eyes drooping, unable to make eye contact. Inappropriate behavior, loud behavior.
I met Drinks Lounge on East Cesar Chavez with Sarah Levine. She helped found a group called ATX Safer Streets after a drunk driver drove into South by Southwest crowds in 2014, killing four. Levine also tends bar across the street. Getting home safely at night, she says, is not just a struggle for drunk people.
We are a 24-hour town in a lot of ways, and especially when it comes to some of those jobs like janitorial services and warehousing, they're not making a lot of money. And they need, especially as they get pushed further and further out of the core, they need to have those transportation options available to them.
A 2009 study looked at the effect longer metro hours in Washington, D.C. had on DWIs. While the city lengthened its transit hours from midnight to 3 a.m., DWI arrests and alcohol-related fatal crashes fell by as much as 40%. Here in Austin, voters recently dealt transit a blow. After the failure of Proposition 1, ride-hailing companies Uber and Lyft exited the city Monday. And so, we have fewer options. Browse the Vision Zero plan, and there's little talk about strengthening these public transportation options. Instead, recommendations include getting more bars to serve food and implementing a city tax on alcohol to dissuade people from buying it. But only the state has the power to implement that tax. And then there's the recommendation to incentivize restaurant and bar servers to get more training. But the agency in charge of that training, the Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission, says they haven't been contacted by the city about this. Here's Levine again.
The conversation needs to be changed. We need to talk about more transportation options. You can't expect people not to drink and drive if you're not giving them options outside of that, basically.
Unfortunately, it's a conscious decision people make to get behind the wheel.
Officer Ron Giacchetti is with the Austin Police Department's DWI unit. Austin's Vision Zero plan recommends adding more officers, like Giacchetti, to this team. But it's hard to predict how the department will convince the city of this need. Less than a year ago, APD announced it would add a third DWI enforcement unit. That's when Giacchetti came on. And for the first time, officers could patrol for intoxicated drivers 7 nights a week.
We find a lot of impaired, intoxicated drivers on Sundays and Mondays, Tuesdays, so it's all throughout the week.
Giacchetti works from 7:30 at night to 5:30 in the morning. We drive to the Runberg area. Then we get a call. A crash close by.
So this is on North Lamar in the 8000 block.
Someone left the scene?
Mm-hmm. Which happens a lot.
We drive for less than 2 minutes before Giacchetti spots something on the grass. It's a banged up green Honda, the front end hanging off, the car still running. It must be the car that left the scene. Giacchetti pulls up.
I thought I saw a person in there.
Yeah.
Turn off your car!
It takes four officers to get a 19-year-old man from his car. He's not injured, but having trouble balancing. He tells the officers he believes he's on Riverside Drive. In reality, we're on North Lamar at 183. Turns out there's an open 40-ounce of malt liquor in his car. Giacchetti starts the sobriety test.
I'm gonna take a look at your eyes, okay?
First, he checks eye movement, then onto the walking test. 9 steps, heel to toe, turn and do it again, all on a yellow line. The 19-year-old almost falls over. The last test, standing on one leg, he performs pretty well. G. Giacchetti tries to give him a breathalyzer, but he refuses. Then,
"You were under arrest for an offense arising out of acts alleged to have been committed while you were operating a motor vehicle in a public place or a watercraft while intoxicated, or an offense under section 106.
We head to Travis County Jail. On the way there, Giacchetti and I chat.
"Truthfully, this is where I've wanted to be since day one."
"Why is that?"
"I believe DWI is the most important arrest we make because everybody else on the road is a potential victim of a DWI driver."
In a yet-to-be-published report, 8 researchers considered what most effectively reduces DWIs. Enforcement tops the list. The authors tout Georgia as an excellent example. After a, quote, "highly visible, publicized DWI enforcement, fatal DWI crashes were cut in half over a 30-year span." But many of the enforcement tactics praised by these researchers are out of the hands of Austin policymakers. For example, sobriety checkpoints are considered to be one of the most effective methods of discouraging DWIs. But in Texas, checkpoints are illegal. The researchers also recommend lowering the legal blood alcohol limit from 0.08 to 0.05, something only state lawmakers could do. Last year in Austin, roughly 60 people died in accidents where intoxication was a factor. In some cases, drunk drivers drove off the road, killing themselves. In others, a young father was killed. In another, a University of Texas student.
"We lost a pledge class sister, we lost a friend, we lost an amazing student, and not just her, but so many other people."
UT senior Chloe Chambly helped found Longhorns Against Drunk Driving, or LAD, after 20-year-old Vanessa Whitford was killed last year. She was walking on Riverside around 2 in the morning when she was hit by a drunk driver.
"I'm not saying don't drink."
Raquel Burgett will take over LAD when Chambly graduates.
"Drink. Like, have fun. Just don't do it and then drive."
To the city's ideas to make alcohol more expensive, these leaders of LAD say no. People will still find a way to drink. They say there need to be more ways to get home, and people need to make a plan before heading out. Telling the story of the friend they've lost is powerful, but they wish they didn't have this story to tell.
"Hearing how my friend died from a drinking and driving accident, hearing how her son did, and how when you really can connect the dots between statistics and individuals, that's where people's minds start to change, and that's when they start to think and remember whenever they're drinking, oh, well, I remember hearing this story that this mom told me. I don't want my mom to have to tell a story like that."
I was cooking some eggs and some bacon and sausage, and I had the oven started, and I just turned around to open a can of biscuits. And when I did, my daughter came running into the room and said, "Mom, you got to get on the phone. There's something wrong with Greg." So I get on the phone. There's a guy on the phone. He was a police officer. He told me, he said, "Your son, Gregory Tiemann, has been in an accident." And there was this forever long pause. And he said, "Your son's dead."
In the early morning of December 7th, 2013, Tatum's son Greg was driving around Lexington, Texas with 2 friends. One of them, a friend since childhood, was driving. He lost control. Greg and a friend in the back seat died when they were ejected from the car. Greg had not been wearing a seatbelt. The driver survived. According to a police report, there was an empty 6-pack in the front seat. The driver was charged with 2 counts of intoxication manslaughter. He has served 6 months in prison. It was the driver's second DWI. Tatum says maybe if the punishment for his first had been harder,
maybe he wouldn't have got a second. You know, people look at it the wrong way. People say, "I don't want to drink and drive because I can't afford one." People need to look at it as, "I can't afford a DWI because I don't want to kill someone."
Greg's death didn't happen in Austin, and it's not clear that anything in the city's Vision Zero plan would have stopped it if it had. But the potential cost of drunk driving is the same, loss of life. Last month, Tatum shared her son's story with the students from LAD. And while doing that brings her some closure, she says her son is still the first thing in her mind when she wakes up. At night, she talks to him. She asks him how his day was, as if he's still around.
I was hoping that when I seen my son for the first time that it wasn't him. And unfortunately, it was. And I just didn't want to leave the room because I just wanted to hold on to him because I thought, if I hold you long enough, you'll come back. And he didn't.
Greg, who died at the age of 20, is buried next to his grandfather. Audra McGlinchey, KUT News. Thank you.
Thank you.